Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. Always a joy to be able to come and share with you on this radio station. And we just hope that all of you are doing okay today. We know some of you may be sick, not able to make it out to church today. We hope the Lord will soon restore you to your health. You may be shut in. And we just ask that God will bless you in a mighty way. Some may be traveling. I know this is last weekend before school gets started. I know I have three school teachers in my family, and I know they all had to start school this week, and the kids, I think, go home on the 8th, I think, of August. So we know that's fixing to get back. So let's go to the Lord and pray and ask Him to be with us during these next 30 minutes. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for today. We thank You once again for this great opportunity that we have to share Your Word, Lord, and we just pray that we'll never take that for granted. But Lord, I always pray that You cleanse my sin and me, that, Lord, that there be nothing that will stand between us this morning, that, Lord, that You'll be able to speak through me the words that we need to hear today, Lord, that You speak to my heart. And, Lord, I just pray that Your words will not return unto You void, but that it will speak to the hearts of the people that are listening this morning, Lord. Those that may be sick that need a special touch from You this morning, Lord, we do know You are that great physician. We ask You, Lord, to heal them, that they can soon be up and about and back in their churches. We pray for those that may be traveling on those late vacations, Lord, trying to get it in before school. We pray for their safe return home. We pray for our children and for our teachers, Lord, as they will be beginning in school in the next week or so. So, Lord, I pray for their safety. I pray that it'll be a great year for them. But, Lord, we come now seeking a word from You and to hear from You. So speak to our hearts now. Forgive us of any way that we may fail You, Lord. Bind Satan from stealing from us what You have for us today as we lift Jesus up. Forgive us now once again of our sins. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 11. We're going to begin with verse 19, and we'll read down through verse 30. Acts chapter 11, beginning with verse 19 and reading on down through verse 30. As we think about, they were first called disciples. They were first called disciples. Now, you'll see where we're going with this here in just a few minutes. But they were first called disciples. So let's read, if you will. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of none to none but to the Jews only. And some of them that were of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great numbers believed and turned unto the Lord. And tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, and was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And he was of a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And he came to pass a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were first called" — what? — "Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great drought throughout the world. And when it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." You know, this morning as we read these verses and as we think about, they were first called disciples. Now, we're going to get to that verse in just a few minutes where he says there in verse, what, 26, "And when they had found him and brought him to Antioch, and they assembled a whole year, and the church taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, I kind of turned that around, didn't it? I said they were called what? Disciples first. So let's think about what's going on in this story. We see that the church is being persecuted. Persecution has just been going out of hand. many Christians are being martyred. We know Stephen had been martyred, and when this happened, we know that Satan was vexing the church. There was much persecution that was happening, and the Christian people began to scatter out of safety. They were scattering abroad. But as they were scattered and as they went, what were they doing? They were preaching the word. They were sharing the gospel. It says that as they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and they were sharing with who? They were sharing, first of all, with the Jewish people. This is who they were sharing to. The gospel was to be carried to the Jews first, and then the Jews didn't accept it. So there was a group of them that went to Antioch, and when they got to Antioch, they shared the gospel with some Greeks there. And the Bible says that these Greek people came to understand and to believe the word of God. And so the church at Jerusalem, this is the mother church there. We see that when they hear what's going on in Antioch, what did they do? They sent Barnabas. Now, who is Barnabas? That word means what? His name means encourager. He is the one who encourages. He is one there to uplift other people. We know Barnabas was that one person that when Saul had his conversion experience on that road to Damascus, and we know how that the Spirit told him to go to down to that straight street, and there he would run into Ananias, and that he would tell him what he would do. And we know that when he gets there, Ananias kind of scared of him. He said, is this a trick? Is he just trying to find out who Christians are so that he could persecute more of us? What's going on? And we know he was kind of scared of what to do, was he? And so we see that Barnabas took Saul in. After Ananias, he receives his sight. The Lord tells Ananias, I'm going to make a special vessel out of him. He's going to carry my gospel to the Gentiles, to so many people. And we know that Barnabas was the first one that showed him friendship and took him in and gave him opportunity to go and to preach and to begin to share the word. So Barnabas is just a great man. So he goes to the church there at Antioch. He sees what's happening. He sees people are accepting the Lord. And what does he do? The Bible says he goes over to Tarsus and he finds Saul and he brings Saul back. And that's when we come to that verse 26 that it says, and for a whole year they taught many people. They shared the gospel with many people. They taught them about Christ and the teachings of Christ. And when this happens, we see that the Bible says they were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, what does it mean to you to call yourself a Christian, if you are a Christian? What does it mean to you to call other people, well, he's a good Christian? Well, what are you saying? What does that mean when we call somebody a Christian? We know sometimes when we've been overseas and we'll be sharing the gospel, we have to use that we're believers. A lot of places around the world, the word Christian doesn't carry a good meaning. A lot of people look at Christians as being murderers and killers and things like this. But we know that this is all in what happened way back when in the wars and stuff. But brothers and sisters, what does it mean to you to be a Christian today? What does it mean for you to call yourself a Christian? Would you call yourself a Christian? You know, a lot of times I ask people and I say, are you a Christian? And they say, oh yeah, oh yeah. And I say, well, do you really think you're going to heaven? Do you believe you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. I think so. Maybe so. And then I'll ask them, I say, well, why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, they don't know. They think because they've been, well, listen, what does it mean to be a Christian? Why do you call yourself a Christian? Well, we see that the Bible says that before we were called Christians, we kind of turn in that verse around, that the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Well, let's turn that around and say the Christians were first called disciples before they got to Antioch. You see where I'm going with this? The Christians were first called disciples before they ever got to Antioch. Now, when we look throughout the Bible, we see there's many kinds of disciples. We see the Bible tells us in John 9:28 that Moses had disciples. There was people who were called Moses' disciples. Matter of fact, you go to Matthew 22:16, it says the Pharisees had their disciples. They had disciples. And then we see that John the Baptist in Matthew 9:14, The Bible talks about John the Baptist's disciples, and we know he talked about how his disciples came to Jesus and asked Jesus, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we need to follow?" And we know that John told them to go and follow him. He wasn't able to even unlatch his shoes. But we see that Jesus had his disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, the Pharisees' disciples, Moses his disciples. So we see that the word disciple and those who have been disciples has been a word that's been along a long time, right? So we were called disciples before we ever became Christians. So what in the world does that mean? What does it mean to you this morning to know that you are a Christian, that you are a disciple of Christ? That's what it means. The word Christian means that we are disciples of Christ. We are a follower of Christ. Now, I ask you this morning, how close are you following Christ? Do you really follow Christ in the way that you are to follow Him? Are you following Him as close as you should be following Him today? So what does this word disciple mean? If we are disciples of Christ, before we were ever called Christians, we were called disciples of Christ, then what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I want us to look at three things this morning that we can see in these verses and in this story of what's going on there at Antioch. First of all, we see that a disciple is someone who accepts the teachings of another. It's somebody who accepts the teachings. In other words, they make themselves a pupil of somebody else. They say, "I want to hear what you're teaching. I want to hear what you're saying," and they accept those teachings. Number two is a disciple spreads the teachings of another. If you accept those teachings and if you believe in those teachings, then guess what? You're going to want to what? Share that with other people and spread those teachings. And then the third thing, if we accept them, if we're sharing with other people, then we have to practice the teachings of another. We have to practice the teachings of what somebody else is teaching us. So let's look at those three things this morning as we answer that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to you this morning to be a Christian? What does it take to be a disciple of Christ? For they were first called Christians in Antioch, but before they were called Christians, they were disciples of Christ. This morning, you call yourself a Christian, but I ask you, are you a disciple of Christ? So let's look at these three things. First thing that we said, what? Is that you accept the teachings of another. In other words, is that you're willing to sit under someone and to say, "I want to hear your teachings." And then when you hear those teachings, you accept those teachings as being truth. And you accept those teachings as being something right. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of people teaching a lot of things. I have sat under a lot of teachers in my life, you know, 12 years of regular school and 5 years of college and all. And you know, I've sat under a lot of teachers, and there's been a lot of teachers that I didn't really agree a lot of times with some of the things that they said. You know, there were some things maybe I didn't just exactly agree with, but there were a lot of things that I accepted the teachings of that teacher. When that math teacher said, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, then I could count it up on my fingers. You know, I got that many fingers. So I could count it up on my fingers and I could see, yes, that's the truth. I believe that. 2 + 2 = 4. And so there's a lot of teachers that we sit under that we don't agree with, but then there are teachers that we do agree with. Well, when we say that we are a Christian, when we say that we are a disciple of Christ, then really what we're saying is, I accept the teachings of Christ. Now, do you? Do you accept those teachings of Christ? Look back in verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and great numbers believed and turned unto the Lord." What did they believe? They believed the teachings of Christ. They believed the gospel, the good news, what they had heard about Christ. They believed these things. They knew that these things were true. Do you believe in the teachings of Christ? Do you really believe in the teachings of Christ? Do you know what the teachings of Christ are? Have you read your Bible? Have you studied your Bible? Have you looked at what Jesus taught? You know, everywhere that he went, he taught. He taught that great Sermon on the Mount. He taught his disciples. Oftentimes, he would teach in parables. And the disciples would have to ask him, say, Jesus, what in the world did you mean by that? And Jesus would sit down and he would explain that parable to his disciples. Brothers and sisters, they believed and they accepted the teachings of Jesus. That's the reason they followed him. When it talks about Moses had his disciples, that were people who believed in the teachings of Moses and what Moses had gotten those commandments from God and all the laws that Moses had written. The Pharisees kept bringing them up then. What about the law of Moses? We accept them as being true. The Pharisees had their disciples. That was people who believed in the teachings of the Pharisees. And we know that Jesus called them a generation of vipers, didn't he? He called them a bunch of hypocrites because of their teachings and because of things that they did. We know John the Baptist, when he came and he taught, repent, repent and be baptized, repent of your sin. There was disciples who followed John who believed his teachings. But if you are a disciple of Christ this morning, then I ask you, do you accept the teachings of Christ? Do you believe in those teachings of Christ? Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 22, he says, but ye therefore have not what? So learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then put off concerning the old conversation, the old man that is corrupt according to his deceitful lust. So you hear what he's saying? He says, you have not learned these things that you're doing from Christ. These are not the teachings of Christ. If you accept the teachings of Christ, the things that he has taught you, you know that they are true. You know that they are real. He says, then put off the old man. You know, if you are going to accept the teachings of Christ, if you're going to believe in him, then you need to live accordingly. And we'll get to that point in a few minutes. But do you accept the teachings of Christ? Well, do we? Do we really believe what he says? Do we really believe what his word says? You know, we've been talking about this a lot in the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about the false prophets and the false teachers and the false ones who have taken the word of God and misused it and abused it and cut it up. You know, brothers and sisters, the Bible says don't add nothing, don't take nothing away. The teachings of Christ is all that we need. Do you accept them? If you are a disciple of Christ, then you should accept the teachings of Jesus. You should accept those teachings because you believe that they are true and you believe that they are right before the Father. And so you will do all that you can then as we come to point two. If you accept these teachings, then what are you going to want to do? You're going to want to spread the teachings of Jesus. If you are a disciple of Christ, just as those that were disciples of Moses spread those commandments and those laws and shared those laws, and we see them written all through Leviticus and all these Mosaic laws that we have. We see that the Pharisees even kept bringing them up to Jesus. Those that were disciples of the Pharisees, they spread what disciples were teaching, the Pharisees were teaching, John the Baptist. They were spreading the teachings of John the Baptist. So if you call yourself a disciple of Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, then brothers and sisters, what are you doing to spread the teachings of Christ, to go forth and to share those teachings? Go back to verse 20 with me, and it says, and some of them were the men of Cyrus and Cyrene, and when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were disciples of Christ. They were true disciples of Christ. And they were all going about, like they said, after the persecution and after the death of Stephen, they're all going about and they're sharing their faith as they went. And it says, these what? Went even unto the Grecian people and shared the gospel with them. You know, are we willing to go and to share the gospel with others? Look at verse 22 and see what it says. And the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent for what? Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So we see even the church, if we believe in the teachings of Christ, the church heard what was going on in Antioch. And so what does the church do? They send Barnabas. They say, Barnabas, you go and you see what's going on. You go and you see what's going on. And what did it say? That for a whole year there, in that verse 26 that we see, he goes back and he gets Saul and they go. And for a whole year, what were they doing? They were there sharing the gospel. They were there sharing with people and teaching people the teachings of Christ and sharing with them about what Jesus said. You know, the disciples, when Jesus goes up and to the ascends back into heaven and he left that great commission, you know, he said, you got to go and to teach them. You got to go and you got to share that gospel with them. In verse 30, look what happens. We see that there's so many people coming in. There was a prophet who comes in. His name was Agabus. And Agabus, we see, was signified, and the Spirit came into him. And he told him, he says what? He prophesied, and he said, there's going to be a great drought that's going to happen on the whole earth. And it happened just like God had told him it would in Claudius Caesar's time. And notice what happens. It says in verse 30 once again, which they also did, and they sent it by the elders by the hands of who? Barnabas and Saul. See, once again, we see Barnabas and Saul going somewhere, being sent, carrying the gospel, carrying this help, sharing with what's going on. You know, as we look back through all of the gospels, you can go and you can look through all four of the gospels, and all four of the gospels, from the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, you go all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And every one of them have some kind of account of the Great Commission. And this is what Mark says. It says that, you know, that they were to go, and he commanded them to go where? Unto the world, and to preach the gospel to every creature. Did you hear that? Jesus commanded us to go into all the world. Mark 16, 15. Where? In all the world, and preach the gospel to all creatures. Now we know Matthew and some of the others, Luke, some of the others, go as far as say, you know, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, and then to the Samaritan. Then what did it say? To the uttermost parts of the world. Well, Mark just cuts it to the chase, doesn't it? Mark doesn't name everything. He just says, look, go preach the gospel to all the world. Being willing to spread the gospel. That is what being a Christian is all about. That is what being a Christian does. A Christian is there to spread the gospel, to share the gospel. If you accept the teachings of Jesus, then you should want to share those teachings of Jesus and to spread those teachings of Jesus and to share that with other people that are around you so that they too can hear the good news and they too can know the Word of God and live accordingly to that Word. So, are we willing to spread the gospel? Are you a true disciple of Christ? The Christians were called disciples first. And what is a disciple? Somebody who accepts the teachings of Jesus. Someone who what? Spreads the teachings of Jesus. He never said he called us to be disciples to be what? Pew warmers. You know? He didn't say he just called us to sit on the bench. He called us to get in the game, folks. He called us to get in the game. See, it don't make any difference how many people we got on the field when it comes to sharing the gospel. It's not like basketball, baseball, and football, and you can only have so many people on a team or so many people on the field at one time. Listen to me. We as Christian people are in this together. If we are Christians, that means we are disciples of Christ. We accept His teachings. We believe His teaching, and we want to share His teaching, spread His teaching with everybody we can. And every one of us have got to get up off the pew and share that gospel. And then that brings us to the last thing. If we accept that teachings, if we're spreading those teachings, then we need to be what? Practicing those teachings. You know, it'd be crazy for me to say, oh man, I believe what Jesus said. I believe every word that He said. I'm going to tell other people what they need to do, and I'm going to tell other people how they need to live, but I'm going to live like I want to, and I'm not going to follow those teachings. Would that be foolish? You know, that's kind of what the Pharisees did, wasn't it? That's kind of what the fair, they had all these rules and regulations. They had it to where hardly nobody could be saved. And Jesus looked at them and said, "You're a bunch of hypocrites. Brothers and sisters, we are hypocrites. We call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves disciples of Christ when we want to accept his teachings. And we tell everybody, oh, you better believe the Bible. You better get ready. Jesus is coming again." How many times we hear people that say that? But what are they doing to get ready? What are you doing to get ready? You know, I tell people that all the time. You know, man, you need to get ready. Jesus is coming soon. But what am I doing to get my own life ready? What am I doing to get my friends and my church family ready? We need to be ready if we really believe the Word of God. But what are we doing? Are we practicing those teachings of Christ? We see there in verse 23, what did it say? Who then, when he came, this is talking about Barnabas, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with what? Purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Did you hear that? What in the world did that mean? That means that you don't just come and hear the Word of God, accept it as being true, spend money to send missionaries around the world and spread the gospel, and maybe you even tell somebody about the gospel, but then turn Jesus loose. In other words, don't cleave unto him in your own life. Don't live according to his word in his own life. Don't have that purpose in your heart of your own life to live that life for Jesus. Here we see these people, when Barnabas got there and he saw these Grecians, it says he exhorted them, he encouraged them with your whole heart and with purpose of heart. Practice what you say now that you believe. Practice what you have heard in Jesus. Live that life according to him. Live that life in according to his word and according to his teachings. We see that when this drought happens, that Agabus had said would happen during Claudius Caesar's time. Look at verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to he had ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwell in Judea. Now listen, all these disciples, it says the disciples now, the disciples were called what? Christians, what? First at Antioch, but before they were called Christians, they were called what? Disciples. Now it says when these disciples heard about this great drought, and there were people that were suffering, what did they do? They said, well, we really believe those teachings of Jesus, you know, that we're supposed to love one another, and that if we give a cup of water and a cold water in his name, that it won't go unrewarded, and that, you know, how are we going to separate the sheep from the goat? I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison. You came to see me. I was sick and you visited me. And he said, you know, if you do it unto the least of one of mine, you do it unto me. Do we really believe that? Do we really practice that? You know, these disciples, when they heard of what was going on and the drought that was there, it says that they, every man, according to his ability. In other words, whatever he was able to give, he gave. Whatever way he could help, he could help. And that's what he did. And they sent Barnabas and Saul to carry this aid to the people that were in need. See, God don't ask you to do more than you can do. He knows what your ability is. He knows what you're capable of. But listen to me. He expects you to do something. He expects you to practice what you say you believe. In Matthew chapter 28, going back to that great commission, when we look at that verse 20, he says, teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you unto the ends of the earth. So he just got through giving them that great commission that we talked about earlier, spreading the gospel. Go and teach and preach and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to all the world, to all the nations, beginning here at home, Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, othermost parts of the world. And then he says in that verse 20, teaching them to observe. Did you hear that? Observe those things. What does that word observe mean? It means to keep those things, to do those things that I have taught you. It didn't mean just hear them. It didn't mean just read them. It didn't mean just have them printed and put them on your wall in your house. It meant you got to do those things that he has called you to do. He tells them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 15, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the tradition which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. In other words, stand fast, hold on to those things. Practice those things. Don't let them go. Cleave unto Jesus. What did we say earlier? Hold on to Jesus. Cleave unto Jesus. Hold on to Him. Do the things that He has taught you. So this morning, as we think about we were first called Christians at Antioch, listen, we were called disciples before we were Christians. And if you call yourself a Christian, then you're saying you are a disciple of Christ. And if you are saying you are a disciple of Christ, then you're saying this morning, I accept the teachings of Christ. I believe the teachings of Christ. And if you believe those teachings and you call yourself a Christian, then the Bible, God, Jesus has commanded you to go and spread the teachings of Christ. But if you're going to go and spread those teachings of Christ, you don't want to look like the Pharisees and be a hypocrite. You've got to practice those teachings of Christ. So this morning, what about you? You were called first a disciple before you were a Christian. And it carries so much meaning when you say, yes, I am a Christian. Are you doing these things this morning? What about you today? What does being a Christian mean to you? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time this morning. And Lord, I just pray that your word would just not return unto you void, but that it would speak to every heart, that if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we're going to call ourselves one of your disciples, then make sure, Lord, we're doing these three things this morning. If there's one lost, I pray that they'll accept Jesus today, the only way to salvation. If they'll just repent of their sins this morning and make him Lord of their lives, they can be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Forgive us of our sins. Amen.